Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Welcome today on the program is our National Director, Father Frank Pavone. Father, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Well, you know, Father, everyone, I think, has been very frustrated since this election to say, you know, what can we do? Okay. And as you know, Father, with every election, you just don't get a president and vice president, but he brings in a whole cabinet, all kinds of officials that get then approved by the Senate, right?
Yes. And that process is underway right now. And we can stop some of the worst ones from getting confirmed. Because what happens is that these cabinet appointments and these appointments to head up different federal agencies, most of these have to be confirmed by the Senate.
Right.
Now, the Senate is 50-50. The Democrats don't have some kind of commanding, powerful lead.
No, it's 50-50. It's a tie score.
So, you know, you get just a couple of senators above 50 to see it your way, and you can block. In fact, they even need 60 to move forward with the confirmation of these people. So here's the thing. This is like, okay, a bad outcome on the election on the presidential front, but we can stop some of the bad consequences of it because it's all still unfolding. It's in process right now.
Right.
And in specifically, we're going to talk about one in particular here.
Right.
The Department of Health and Human Services, the
HHS,
is very important for pro-life policy.
Well, and very important because, like, for example, under President Trump, well, first, let's go back to Obama. Under Obama, he had the HHS mandate.
That's where it came from.
That's where it came from, the Department of Health and Human Services.
Right.
He told them, under Obamacare, everyone must provide abortion and contraception in their health care. And as you know, Priests for Life, along with lots of other groups, we went to court saying, oh, no, we can't violate our conscience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were in some battle.
Well, you see, and let's help people understand how this works. It's good that you bring this up. Congress passes the laws.
Right.
So Congress passed the ACA, the Affordable Health Care
Act,
Obamacare,
right?
It's in that law that it says health insurance policies have to cover preventive services. Doesn't mention what those are. What it does is gives power to the HHS to identify what those are. See, that's why the appointment of these positions is so important.
That's
because
right.
These federal agencies now outside of the purview of the elected representatives of Congress, they've passed the law, but then the statutory authority is then given to these agencies to make further specifications, interpretations, and applications of the law. So it was the HHS and the HHS secretary under Obama that then said, oh, well, we're going to include certain forms of abortion and contraception on this list. They didn't have to by law.
But they did.
But they did as an agency.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's because Obama appointed the head of the HHS.
There you go.
Under his presidency, a very liberal,
abortion-loving
person.
And now Biden has made a choice.
Well, but first, Father, before you go to Biden's choice, I want to talk about then what Trump did.
Yes.
Because then we had President Trump, the most pro-life president in our history.
Right.
He puts the head of HHS,
yes.
A wonderful person, who then relieved us.
Exactly.
He took away the mandate for us.
Yeah, in other words, gave us the exemptions
that we were asking for. So we were saved.
We were saved
once again by President Trump.
Right.
Now we have Biden, and he has declared his pick for the Department of HHS.
One of the worst people he could pick.
We knew that,
and we told people during the election, don't vote for the Democrats because you put them in there. No matter who was elected president, if it was a Democrat, that's already guarantees that the Department of HHS is going to sink down into the pro-abortion swamp. That was guaranteed. There is no person that they would put in there that is not pro-abortion. But they went and chose one of the worst ones in the country. Javier Becerra, Attorney General of California. He was a member of Congress. Okay, he was in the House of Representatives representing a district in California. And then he became the Attorney General. Now, you know who he replaced as Attorney General of California? Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris.
Huh.
She was Attorney General. It goes from bad to worse, these
of
people.
Of course.
From bad to worse. And so this guy...
Well, first of all, Becerra, let's remind them
yes.
that he attacked the pregnancy centers.
Now, those who follow our ministry, those who follow our programs, and those who are active in the pro-life movement, they will recognize the Supreme Court case from just a couple of years ago, NIFLA versus Becerra.
Right.
This is the Becerra. This NIFLA is the pregnancy centers. Our friend Tom Glessner
right.
heads up NIFLA, the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. Okay. Right. And what was that issue? A California law was passed that Javier just, you know, zealously defended, okay, all the way to the Supreme Court, that said, if you can wrap your mind around this, which most people can't, that a pregnancy center
right.
that exists in order to
save babies.
Stop abortion, right?
Save babies.
Give people right. alternatives to abortion, would be required to tell the women where they could get one, an abortion. It's like, what? Is this the Twilight Zone?
Right.
So Becerra.
Well, right away, we know the people who operate pregnancy centers.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to do
that. They would say there's no way.
No, that's why there had
no
to be. Which they won at the Supreme Court,
right.
which they won
right.
narrowly, but they won. Okay. But the point is, Becerra doesn't care about religious conscience or freedom.
No.
And here's the irony. Now, he's being asked by Biden to head up the very agency that takes care of conscience and religious freedom for healthcare providers. And remember, what President Trump did with the HHS, it already had the OCR, it's called the Office of Civil Rights, in HHS. But President Trump put another division in that office. He created the Division for Conscience and Religious Freedom, which exists to enforce laws that protect, for example, citizens that don't want to pay for abortion or healthcare workers that don't want to participate in it.
Right.
Now you're putting a guy in there who actually, besides the pregnancy center law that you just mentioned,
right.
he actually, let me back up. When President Trump established this office, he said to Americans across, Americans across the country, if you ever feel like your conscience is being violated by any kind of law or government action, you can submit a complaint
being in meetings that a lot of people submitted complaints.
Well, remember when we were in a meeting when this office was first established, and they told us that during all the 8 years of Obama, the number of complaints that came, because people were able in the past to complain to the Office of Civil Rights, that's why it exists. Over all the 8 years of Obama, you know how many complaints came in? 10. Soon as President Trump established this division for conscience and religious liberty and began, excuse the pun, trumpeting the fact
right.
that, hey, everybody, we're here to protect your conscience. We're here to protect your religious rights as individuals and as institutions. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of complaints came pouring in.
Right.
Now, the office didn't create the complaints. The citizens were out there suffering already.
Right.
With them all the time. Nurses, doctors, medical students.
But now they felt they had a voice that would listen.
Exactly.
Someone was going to listen to them
exactly.
and protect their conscience.
And they
rights.
Did. And this office got into high gear. We knew all the people who ran this thing. Mm-hmm. We know all these people. And they got into high gear enforcing already existing laws. Now, one of those laws that already exists is the Weldon Amendment that says that you cannot have a state tell a health insurance company
right.
that they have to cover abortion. In other words, the health insurance company and the people that they sell their plans to have to feel free to have a plan that does not involve abortion. Okay, clear enough, right?
Right.
California went ahead and threw that they can't throw the law out the window, but they disobeyed it. California. When some religious groups, Catholic groups actually, mm-hmm. said, okay, we're going to take advantage of this law and we are not going to have abortion in our... Now, this is not what we faced. This is elective abortion across the board. We're not going to have a elective abortion in our health plan. Planned Parenthood and other abortion groups put pressure on California to say, no, don't let them get away with that. Don't let them get away with health insurance plans that don't cover abortion. So California caved into the pressure and they said, well, we're not going to follow the Weldon Amendment. And who was the ringleader?
Becerra.
Becerra.
Right.
Now, here's the irony. Under President Trump, this very office under HHS enforced the Weldon Amendment against the state of California. They told him, hey, California, you're breaking the law. So basically they're telling Becerra, because he's right. The state's top law enforcer, right, as the attorney general. They're telling Becerra, hey, you're breaking the law. There's people in California, especially religious people, they don't want abortion involved in their health. You're breaking the law. Becerra didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll respect the conscience of these people. He fought back. He pushed back. It went forward to the point where the Trump administration had to deny California like $200,000 of, you know, money that they would have gotten, because that's the way they enforce these things. Say, okay, you're not going to get federal money for these particular purposes if you're breaking the law. Now you want that guy in charge of the HHS?
That's going to be terrible. Okay, so now I do believe this week, at the end of the week, is when the Senate...
Well, they're going to start, you never know with Congress, you know, right. They schedule something,
but
now's schedule
the time.
Change. But now's the time we right. have to... We sent out an action alert. In fact, just as we speak right now, if our friends are signed up for our action alerts, they're going to get an email in their box probably in the next couple of hours, if they haven't gotten it already, about this.
Okay.
Telling them one simple thing. We want you to make two phone calls to your United States senators and say no to Becerra. Three words, no to Becerra. We don't want this guy heading up the HHS when he himself was acting completely contrary to
his
policies.
Think everybody should call their senators. Meaning
everybody.
Everybody. Don't just think, oh, my senator's a Republican.
No.
Everybody.
Back them up, right? Our friends.
Yes. Like, for example, we're here in Florida, so we have to call Rubio and Scott.
And Scott.
Mm-hmm. Both. And say no to Becerra. Vote right. no. Say vote no on Becerra. Vote no on
And if
Becerra.
We know that they're already going to vote no, we're calling to back them up. We're calling
That's
to say,
right.
hey, listen, I want you to
and
know.
And then they say, oh, good. I was going to vote no,
yes.
but now I'm hearing from my
no,
constituents.
No, but they need that support, because then they talk to their colleagues and they can say, I heard from 10,000.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then people like where we used to live, Father, in New York,
yeah.
you know, don't give up. New Yorkers, don't give up. Because
they
Chuck
make,
Schumer, his phone should be ringing off the
off
hook.
Off the hook.
Off
his,
the hook.
His people in the various branch offices ought to be going to him in the staff meetings and saying, Senator, you know, I don't know what happened, but everybody's talking about Becerra, you know.
And, well, guess what?
They got to feel
this
the heat.
This is what I would say. If I was still living in New York and voting in New York, I would say, if you don't say vote no on Becerra, I won't vote for you, because he's
no,
up
they
for
gotta
re-election.
Say that. They gotta
he's
say
up for
that. That's right.
In 2022.
That's right.
So you have to say either vote no on Becerra or we'll vote no on you.
That's right. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
No, this guy is a disaster. This Becerra.
He's terrible,
you know, there's other
things.
Look,
terrible.
Even Biden, when he was a senator, did you know he voted for the partial birth abortion ban?
Yeah.
He voted for it. Becerra, he voted against it in right. the House. Of course, Becerra was in the House. Biden was in the Senate, but the same bill came before them both. Becerra couldn't even vote to protect babies from partial birth abortion. He couldn't vote to protect babies born alive after abortion. He couldn't vote to protect for Lacey Conner law. Now, weren't you at the signing?
I was at the signing.
Tell us about that bill.
Well, that was the bill where Lacey was murdered by her husband. And her unborn child obviously was killed.
Was killed also, right.
Was killed also. And they were saying that he should be charged with a double murder.
Right.
And then the bill came about. And Becerra voted that, oh, no.
He voted, and he was from California.
Yeah,
this is where the law originated.
Exactly.
In fact, most states in the country have unborn victims of
unborn
violence.
Victims of
most
violence.
States in the country.
Right.
Where you recognize, I mean, outside the context of abortion.
Right.
If an unborn baby is injured or killed, that's the second victim. You're a pregnant
right.
woman. You've got two victims there, not one. So the point is, Becerra, he's blinded by the abortion ideology. Mm-hmm. He's an activist. He's an apostle. He's a fanatic about abortion. And so, it gets worse. He actually led a coalition of pro-abortion attorneys general in a letter against the very policy that we talked about a moment ago, that when we were exempted from the,
right.
he looks at this, what we call religious freedom, he looks at it as discrimination.
Which is ridiculous.
And he got these other attorney generals together and said, oh, that's fine. That's why when we got that favorable ruling, people started saying, well, wait a minute, how come we're hearing that some of these court cases are still continuing? Well, because Becerra stood up and said, we don't care what the administration did. We're going to fight against this. And then he got these attorneys general together in an open statement. And in fact, I have it right here, where they opposed all kinds of pro-life laws that were coming up in the states. In the states. And you know what they said? Yeah, let me show you how extreme this guy is. Here's what they said. You got all these attorneys general together. And they said, many of us share those legal views, but our commitment to not prosecute women who obtain abortions and healthcare professionals, we're talking about the abortionists, okay, healthcare professionals who provide treatment is not predicated on these concerns and indeed would hold even if the protections of Roe v. Wade were to be eroded or overturned. You know what he's saying, in other words, is even if Roe were to be overturned and abortion were illegal, we would not enforce the pro-life laws. That's how bad this guy is.
He's terrible. So let's get back to Father, what they need to do. First of all, if they are currently not getting our action alerts, because these will be happening a lot with this administration we have, what do they have to do to sign up to get our action alerts?
Stopabortionnow.org.
Stopabortionnow.org.
They can sign up. And then they will start to get emails whenever there's an alert. Like the one we're sending out today,
right,
says, listen, it summarizes this in one paragraph. Becerra is very pro-abortion. He should not be heading up HHS. Vote no. And it's just to the senators.
Right, just the senators. Okay, now someone's sitting there saying, okay, Father Frank, I'll call my senator.
Yeah.
But how do I get the phone number for his office?
The action alert gives you the phone number. It's the Capitol switchboard.
Oh.
And the action alert tells you the phone. First of all, it's a mechanism. You have to go through.
If you call the Capitol switchboard, how do you get your particular senator?
You just tell them what state you're from. Say, I want to talk to my...
Switch you over?
They switch you over to the senator's
office.
Now,
you can also call them, though, in their local district office.
That's
too.
Another option, of course.
And how do they get that number?
Well, that they just look it up locally. Just Google it locally, offices of Senator so-and-so, and they'll be...
Well, Father, I mean, not for nothing, but I remember one time talking to Congressman Chris Smith, and he said that... And this one caused him a long distance call, because in Washington, call your local office of your senator or congressman, because they really know that's a voter from my district. You understand? Mm-hmm. So they pay more attention to that. It's not just a bunch of people calling somebody.
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's multiple offices, which there are, you know, you're calling the local office. You know, local offices are used to getting calls about something that's happening in the community, or, you know, the potholes on the road aren't fixed.
But now they suddenly start getting calls
now,
and say, vote no
about national issues. Wow, these people are very paying attention.
Paying attention.
Is the message they get.
Right. Yeah. And again, like we said, all Republicans should be called, and all Democrats, no matter how you think.
No, every one of them. Yeah, everyone. Really, really push them hard. Yeah, push them.
Because
hard.
I mean, we got a few Republicans who voted the wrong way with the impeachment. You know what I mean? So there's no guarantee that your guy is going to vote the right way. You make the phone call anyway. So
you do.
I think, Father, after this taping, then I'm going to have to go look up Rubio and Scott's phone numbers and make some phone calls, and so are you. Right?
Well, you know what also happened. You know, Becerra, Kamala Harris started this, where they were persecuting our friend David DeLeiden.
That's right.
And Sandra Merritt, who exposed the business of selling body parts by Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Instead of punishing Planned Parenthood, that was breaking the law, they punished David and Sandra.
I know.
So Harris started that, and then Becerra continued it.
Continued it. Absolutely.
He brought 15 felony charges against them. It's like, why? Exposing the activity that you say is okay.
Right.
That's why. Yeah.
Well, Father, again, stopabortionnow.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, brothers and sisters, you got your marching orders from Father now. Stopabortionnow.org. Sign up for action alerts. And then you're going to call about Becerra. You're going to call your senators, whether you think they're going to vote the right way or not, and say, vote no on Becerra. We only have a few days about this, because this vote can come up as early as this Friday. And we do not want to see that happen. So it's up to you, each and every one of us. And we're going to constantly give you these action alerts, because you know what? we cannot just throw up our hands and say, oh no, you know, we got Biden. Now what are we going to do? Oh, for the next 4 years, we're going to suffer. No, we're not going to just suffer. We're going to fight back. We're going to help save the unborn children. We're going to protect as much as we can. And in 2 years, for the midterm elections, we're going to try to take back the House and get more seats in the Senate. Remember what Father said, 50-50 is not a majority. I wanted to, in closing, remind you about my wonderful little hoodie here that's keeping me warm. Do you know in the studio sets, they keep it so cold here, but it's cold all over the country. And like I said, I'm going to stand up and show you one more time. Social justice begins in the womb. So you can get yours right now at the end of the program. Go to prolifeproducts.org. We'd love to, my whole shipping department, we'd love to get them out the door to you today. So go to prolifeproducts.org. Well, Father, thanks for joining us. Once again, always good information, good action alerts. And, you know, we're not just here to fight abortion, right? We're here to
end it.
End it. And as they always say, there are some abortions only you can stop, and some lives only you can save. Thank you for joining me again. Until tomorrow, it's Just Ask Janet. God.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.